Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Ramadan Mubarak to all my brothers and sisters who are fasting. Today is the 24th day of Ramadan, and inshallah, we will make it to the 30th day. And so we're so glad that you're able to, during your fast, listen to our show and inshallah, participate. Tonight is a very special show. It's part two of our show, Project Separation, with our guest, Brother Farrakhan Muhammad Ali. Brother Farrakhan Muhammad is a staff person and a helper of Sister Ava Muhammad with the Separation Project. If you're like myself, if you're living in an area that has not been blessed to have one of the town hall meetings in your area, well, we are blessed tonight to have a brother that's working hard with our sister. And so you have an opportunity to ask questions about the town halls, to ask questions about the planning, to ask questions about where it's heading. And if you're interested in assisting or participating, this is the show to listen to and the show to ask questions. So I'm not going to belabor the point. I am going to open the mic for our host, Sister Niambi Muhammad, who was very instrumental in securing Brother as a guest and Brother himself. But before I do that, I'm going to ask Brother Farrakhan if you can push the 1 on your dial so I can keep you at the top of my queue. Go ahead, Brother Farrakhan, press that 1 on your dial, and then I'll open up both of y'all's lines. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Niambi, and assalamu alaikum, Brother Farrakhan.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton.
I pray you all are doing well. And I'm going to turn it over to Sister Niambi and let her go ahead. And I'm going to sit back here for a little while until it gets really good. Then I'm probably ask a question.
Okay, yes, sir. Praise you, Allah. Thank you, Brother Carlson. So, as Brother Carlson mentioned, we have invited our brother, Brother Farrakhan Muhammad, back for part two of Project Separation. And we are delighted to have him on this evening's show to talk to us about a very, very important subject where we can gain some very important information and clarity on what Project Separation is. So, Brother Farrakhan, if you could briefly reintroduce us to Project Separation to begin.
Sure. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Niambi.
Wa alaikum salam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. Also, assalamu alaikum to all the organizers of this show and Brother Carlton and Sister Majida. And I want to start off, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. It's Ramadan, so, you know, I say it in Arabic. Usually I say it in English, but I'm real spiritual during Ramadan, so I try to use Arabic. So Project Separation is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in 2017 said that he wanted the opportunity to have a town hall in every city in America. And the town halls were echoing his message in the time and what must be done series, where he said that after he's done teaching our people, he wants to hold a vote. And that vote will be to decide who wants to separate into a new society for black people and for the righteous here in America, to separate from America. So he said he wanted to take a vote. And in 2017, he told his laborers that the vote would begin with, first we would do town halls. So he said he wanted a town hall in every city in America. And what the town hall does is it allows our people to hear the case for separation, and then it gets them prepared for the vote. Now, the reason it's called Project Separation is because the town hall is just the first step toward separation. Once we hold the town halls, we organize the participants of the town hall, and they become prepared and informed as to when the vote will be, how it will take place, where it will be, and how they can participate in it. So Project Separation came out of a meeting that Sister Ava was doing the town halls all over the South with a brother named Brother Louis Ali, and many others who helped her. And then at a certain point, her and myself, we met, and we decided that that Project Separation would be that we will work together, and that I could help her in gathering the information from our people and organizing them in kind of an efficient and effective manner, so that we could bring the minister's words into fruition.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. What a wonderful explanation. Thank you. And that leads me into my next question. If you could talk to us a little bit about what Project Separation is versus what Project Separation is not.
Sure. Of course. Well, Project Separation is the solution to the 400-year-old problem between whites and blacks. And this is something we've heard about since 1930 by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teacher, Master Farid Muhammad, and their student, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This is something we've heard about for many years. The separation is the only answer between the black and the white, between the righteous and the unrighteous. So we added the project onto it because I realized that it's not something that has an end. There's no end to it. Someone asked me, what are we going to do after Project Separation? There is no after Project Separation, because there's always going to be something to do when you're trying to establish a new state or territory for millions of people, or however many decide that they want to live a righteous life. So Project Separation is, we pray that this will be the apparatus that God will use to help answer that problem. We have the solution. We believe that by carrying it out in an organized and articulate manner, that we can become vessels by which God can help to finally bring about that separation that he has promised would take place. And this is actually the day that it is going to take place. This is actually the period of time that separation will occur. We are blessed by Allah to be living in that time and to be helpers in his cause, in his will, with his apostle. The Holy Quran says, it tells our people, it exhorts our people to be upright, to live a righteous life. Separation is not just that blacks deserve a separate state, which we do, but it's also calling our people to live a more upright life, to come out of the condition that our enemy has placed us in. And so by the grace of God, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is finally exposing who the real enemy of God is. And you can't separate until that happens. There cannot be a falling away until the scripture says, until the man of sin be revealed. So the presence of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that God is using his mouth to destroy the enemy with the brightness of his spirit coming through a human being that we are blessed to be working with, to be helping, that we can call a brother of ours. So Project Separation is us striving to help Allah and his messenger and their will, and help all of our people, whether they be Muslim, Christian, agnostic, Catholic, Jewish, whatever they may, whatever persuasion they may refer to themselves as, or whatever stance they take in life, we want to offer them a chance for salvation. So it is actually, someone said to Dr. Ava, well, you all have been trying to separate for a long time. And she said, no, not at all. We've been talking about separation for quite some time, but this is the first time we've actually taken a actionable, measurable step towards separation. So I'm grateful to Allah that's what Project Separation is. And what it is not something that Dr. Ava or myself or Sister Rona, who's the project manager, it is not something that we came up with that we think will benefit black people. It is not us trying to say, you know, black people should all live in the same neighborhood but still live under a system of white supremacy. It is not us saying, you know, we need a black version of what the white man has built for himself and his people. This is not imitation. So we don't want just businesses and banks and things like that that are under his way of thinking. His world and the institutions of it are deteriorating daily. So we want an entirely new world based on a new way of thinking where we put God at the forefront. So this is not something that resembles white supremacy with black faces. And we're being very careful and cautious, and we're seeking refuge in God because the white man literally made us into himself through our 64-year experience here. He has made us into himself. So we have to make sure that we constantly rely on God and the wisdom of his teacher for us, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So that's what Project Separation is. And that's what Project Separation is not. Does that answer your question, Sister Nyambe?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very much so. Thank you for that. Excellent.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
So, Brother Farrakhan, I don't think a lot of people realize that we should be excited about Project Separation. So can you talk to us a little about why we should be excited?
Yeah. Well, well, the if someone is sick and they've been sick for so long and they've tried all the different types of medicine that are out there and none of them have worked, the person just gets sicker and sicker and sicker. And they've tried everything. At a certain point, they become discouraged and they say, well, I don't think I'll ever be healed from this condition. Maybe I should just live the best life I can and stop trying to cure it, but just let me just deal with the effects of it. Let me just try to control the effects instead of going in and dealing with the cause of the problem. Our people are so disillusioned. We have fallen in love with the white man's wealth, with his world, with his way. So when someone comes and says, hey, let's separate, let's build a world of our own, for one, they've become kind of discouraged because people have tried and people have failed. But what our people need to understand is that this is not men in front of you calling you to separate. This is God himself that has declared us a free and independent people July 4th, 1930. And now we are actually living in that time, and we have to come into the belief and the knowledge that this is something that God wants, and this is something that he is producing. So whether our people get excited about it or not, God has done something that will force us to separate. He has put anger in the hearts of white America. He has put anger in the hearts of those who control society, both black and white. He's put anger in their hearts for us. And their abuse of us is forcing us to think of a new way of life, to find a solution to our problem. Integration is like a treatment for the effects of white supremacy that will never work. It will never work because the cause of the problem really is integration. We can never get along, as Abraham Lincoln said, when he met with some of our people. He had a meeting at the White House, and he invited some black, I think they were preachers, and he explained to the blacks that you all suffer. These are Abraham Lincoln's words. He said, you all suffer from being here, and we suffer from your presence. See, when you fall for the illusion that this will work, you have become a slave to a lie. Someone has given you false hope. Someone has killed your spirit to go off and do for self. That's why a liar is a murderer. Because when you lie to someone, you kill the spirit that would be produced by the presence of the truth. So Abraham Lincoln said, as long as you're here, there's always going to be the position of inferior to superior. And he made it emphatically clear that he would want the superior to be his race, the white race. And the black pastors that attended the event, they said, you know, we are offended. You're insensitive to us. We don't want to leave you. And you're being insensitive to our inferiority complex. You're being insensitive to our slave-like mind. Abraham Lincoln underestimated what had happened to us as a people. And this is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan really wants Trump to read The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. He wants him to know what has happened to these people. He wants him to know our history, to have a better understanding of how we got in this condition, because you'll think that the solution is jobs, welfare, prison, annihilation. This is what the government is planning for us. They're planning annihilation for black people. They are planning slaughter on a mass scale, genocide. So we should be extremely, I don't know if excited is the right word, but we should be gracious and grateful to God that the opportunity to separate has presented itself. So I hope that answers your question, Sister Nyambe.
Yes, sir. And that piece that you just mentioned about Abraham Lincoln, that was pretty powerful. I'm excited about separating from our opening. I'm excited about the reality of living amongst not only people who want to live a righteous life, people who want to live an upright life, people who want to live a life wholeheartedly and close as we've been given by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So that's kind of why I chose the word excited. And I think that leads me into my next question. I've said, and I kind of feel that part of the reason that we are somewhat hesitant to move in the direction of separation as a whole is we haven't taken the time to ponder and visualize exactly what that will look like, what living separately or living amongst ourselves in separate eight states, what that would look like. So can you kind of paint a picture for us of what that might look like?
Sure. Well, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the solution to the job problem is land. And when we acquire land and we cultivate the land, we begin to meet all of our needs from the land. So the land gives our people something to do. The government that will rule, there's a constitution being revised right now, and I believe Dr. Ava Muhammad is on that job. And then once it's revised, it will be ratified, and that will be the beginning of government. So we have a provisional constitution in the Nation of Islam. And so that one is the one that's being revised now. And that constitution will be a very foundational pillar for the basis of a new government. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said that we do not have to change the structure of the Nation of Islam. That will remain the same. He said we have to learn better how to carry out the structure that already exists. Now, many of our people are not, quote unquote, registered members of the Nation of Islam. That is okay, because many of our people are not in the United States government. Many of our people may not agree with the government. We may not agree with the voting process or the illusion of democracy, yet we function in that system. Yet we uphold that system through our actions and our consumption and our consumerism. We live in it to the best of our ability, and we're controlled by it even if we don't agree with it. So the Nation of Islam is a system of rules and laws set up by God to govern the actions of man. So the most important thing that what will it look like? The freedom, justice, and equality are a result of righteous conduct. And I'm going to mention this because it's important for our young people to understand that it is our conduct which causes us to be in a position that is weak. We cannot go up against our enemy, overcome our enemy, or sustain a position independent of our enemy if we are not the moral superior to our enemy. So what does it look like? It looks like people following the law of God. It looks like people keeping their word. It looks like people being honest, upright, morally correct. It looks like people being fathers, husbands, and the best job a man can have, according to God and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is to be a farmer. Now, we have modern technology. We're not about to be out there with knapsacks, you know, picking cotton, you know, like it's 1820. We're not going to do it like that. Our God is an intelligent God. He's an efficient God. He's a mathematically correct God. So we have technology in place, and we have technology that may not yet be in place that will allow us to harness the resources that are in the earth and on top of the earth, that will allow us to extract from animals such as cattle to meet our needs. Now, so we're looking at farmland being the catalyst for jobs, for industry, for trade and commerce. And we have a ministry in the NOI called the Ministry of Trade and Commerce. Once we have resources, we can use those resources to trade for other resources that we may not have access to. So now it's very difficult for us to conceptualize a society that is for us because of our experience here in America. We've been so far removed from the reality that blacks have their own land. When you go overseas, you go to Africa, and you ask them, what does a black state look like? They'll tell you, well, you're in one. Just look around. You know, this is just go outside, you know. So us here in America, because of our unique experience, we're very much removed. And I myself, I'm not free of that. We all have an issue trying to picture what our own state would be like, what our own land would be like. But this is nothing new. The children of Israel, in the Bible, in Holy Quran, they were in Egypt under Pharaoh. Moses said, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers in her sin. They gave Moses a very hard time because they said, well, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? How will we meet our own needs? And God answered them by saying, oh, I have land for you, a promised land. The land was all they needed physically to allow them to have an environment where God can make them into the people that he wanted them to be made into. So we're being guided. Black people have to remember that we are being guided by God, Allah, into a separate state. He is the author of it. He's the master of it. He's the one who dictates how it's going to go. So when we look at history, yes, ma'am, and even the country that we're in now, America, these were people that had an idea in their mind of a new world. That's what they called it, right? A new world. I mean, that's what they did. They took their idea, they built a new world around it. And they wondered what it would look like as well. But it didn't stop them. It did not stop them.
Yes, sir. We're going to start fielding calls in from the callers in just a moment for the Farrakhan. And before we do that, you're keeping me on my toes because you kind of lead into
this is Brother Carlton. We're right now at the halfway point. Can I go ahead and make a station announcement?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to Sister Niambi, our host for tonight, and her guest, Brother Farrakhan Muhammad Ali, with the Project Separation, Part 2 in the Town Hall. If you're enjoying what you're listening to, please press the 1 on your keypad to get in the queue to ask a question, and we will do our best to get you in. And right now we have our Time to Leave founder, Dr. Ridgely, on the line. I'm going to go ahead and open his line. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Well, alaikum assalam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, loud.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, brother Farrakhan. How you doing, brother?
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ridgely. I'm well. Thank you for asking. How are you, brother?
Yes, sir. Fine. Praise be to Allah. Trying to survive in Ramadan and heat. there's two things I want to talk about. There are technologies present, but these technologies require a lot of chemicals for the technologies even to work. They got cotton pickers, but the cotton pickers can't work with weeds. And either you take the weeds out by hand or you take them out with chemicals. Now, if we don't want chemicals, then somebody got to go in there by hand until new technologies come, because right now there are only two technologies, chemicals, which we don't want, and hands, which we don't want to do. So it's a hell of a dilemma. So we're going to have to decide on what we're going to do, because food, clothing, and shelter ain't something you talk about. It's something that you do. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been to a couple of the town hall meetings, and they are great for a particular reason for me. Many of us don't know the history of segregation and then integration. We don't know that under segregation, we did have a lot of things in our separate communities. All that was needed at that time in the 50s and early 60s was the call of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for us to unite. We were already separated. We were already segregated. All we had to do was to unite and do for self. And then we could have traded and commerce between our different colonies inside those cities. And also we had millions of acres of farmland at that time owned by black people. We came out of slavery, 45 years out of slavery, we bought 16 million acres of land. So it wasn't like we did not have land. It was not like we didn't know what to do with land. What happened was, the U.S. Department of Agriculture became a weapon, weaponized by the tax money to destroy the black farmer by bringing in chemicals to replace labor and equipment that the farmer could not afford, because they would not give him the cheap loans. So they worked to remove the black farmer, and they were successful. We still own a few million acres of land, but it's just not organized. It is important to know that integration was not offered as a solution. It was offered as an alternative to the solution. Malcolm X and other ministers, and Minister Farrakhan and other ministers in the Nation of Islam in the 50s and 60s were giving the solution of separation. But then the enemy, in particular the Jews, they came up with this idea of integration. It was not a solution. It was an alternative to the solution. So now we are back to the solution, but we have to understand that us being able to take care of ourselves is something that we have done over and over again. It's just in the last 40 years and 50 years where we gave up our desire to take care of ourselves, and we decided that we would integrate into corporate America and be a part of this great white way. That has failed us now. But in these town hall meetings, we get a chance for people to give the history of the cities in particular that they are in to show that, in fact, black folks did strive at one time to do for self, but it was the trick of integration that destroyed the possibilities of that nation growing within a nation. So now we're just going back to ground zero, back to the 60s, and we're going to give our people another chance. In the 60s, when they came with the Civil Rights Bill, we chose to go the route of integration. When the nation failed in 75, Warris Dean tore it down, and we decided to go the route of integration. Now we have a referendum now, giving us another chance. Now, black people, which one will you choose? Will you choose integration, or will you choose separation? Thank you. Continue the great work. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam. Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Rizzi. It's an honor, brother.
And Sister Niambi, we have another caller in the queue. Should I open their line now?
Yes, sir, please.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 0883. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Brother Dwayne, 8X out of Peoria, Illinois.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaykum salam. Yes, I was listening to you talking about the separation in the medicine. You know, myself, I was thinking on that line, you know, how do we get our people to really separate? And, you know, I guess it's almost like that was just a nice quote to think of how we just, you know, need to think about how separation is like taking this bad medicine, or integration is like taking this bad medicine. So I just want whoever the speaker was with that, just to keep up the good work. And, I mean, praise be to Allah. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, Brother Dwayne.
Ramadan Kareem, Brother Dwayne. Thank
you. Anybody
want
to comment on the brother's comment?
Great comment, brother. Thank you for the beautiful words of encouragement and inspiration. The brotherhood is sacred according to the Holy Quran, and it's only by way of the brotherhood that this will work. So we were at a town hall asking who wanted to help, and all the women raised their hand. You know, the women are going to follow us. You know, that's how we got in this condition, man. If we work together, it don't matter if my woman signed a petition or not. We're going to get the land. You're going to go there, and you're going to raise these children in the way of Allah, because that's the environment that we're going to produce for them. And we're going to take them back from this enemy that has gained control over them due to our failures. Man, thank you, brother, for that comment. Ramadan Kareem.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I have a quick question, Brother Farrakhan. Have you all experienced any opposition, either live at one of the town halls or emails or phone calls? If you can describe any opposition you may have experienced.
I had someone on the website, projectseparation.com. They emailed us and told us that, you know, blacks were wasting their time. We were all wasting our time. That we would never, they told us that we were inferior to the white race and unable to do something for ourselves. And I don't know if that's opposition or just envy, because many whites envy the fact that God has chosen us for this cause. But as far as opposition is concerned, we have not encountered a whole lot of opposition. I think the enemy is busy dealing with those tornadoes and hurricanes.
yes, sir.
You know, I think they had to reallocate all their resources somewhere else right now.
I tend to agree with that. Well, that's good news, but I'm glad to hear. What about, so basically the town halls are pretty much received very well. I guess people who like that email that you talk about, they stay clear of that.
Right. Oh, the town halls are received very well, very well. We have great panelists from the local city, and then we have the local student minister, and then we have Dr. Ava, and then myself, and the local crowd loves it. I mean, they just, you'll hear people, I got my bags packed, I'm ready to go. You know, that's the common thread. It's almost like a theme. I got my bags packed, you know. But yeah, overwhelming support from the people.
So on the flip side of that, are there any organizations, any national black organizations that have actually shown any support more so than any other group, you know, that either in attendance to the different town hall meetings or either donations or manpower that you can say?
To be fair, I'd have to go back and check. We've had so many town halls, and I've encountered so many people in person and via through text and email. But the town halls there have been many people from many organizations. In each city we go to, there's always at least one organization that comes out, sometimes two and three, sometimes representatives from even more. And I can't say for certain right now if one stuck out to me more than the rest. But give me some time, inshallah. We haven't had time to go back and look because I've been so busy getting ready for the next one. We have a town hall coming up this Saturday in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then on the 15th in Virginia. And then the Saturday after that, the 22nd in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Praise be to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you for informing us of the upcoming town hall. Mr. Carlson, do we have any more callers in the queue?
Not at this time. So, but callers, if you want to get a question in, time's running out. So press that button, the number one on your phone, and you'll be admitted into the queue right away.
Okay, well, while we wait for some callers to call in or press number one to enter the queue, I'll continue with my questions to Brother Farrakhan. Brother Farrakhan, when you start to talk about separation, you know, for some that can be a scary word. You know, black kind of, you know, become fearful when you start talking about separation. It's like they're going to kill us. So would you, what would you say to someone who, exhibits fear regarding separation?
Sure. Well, a lot of our, and particularly our young people, a lot of our young people have been turned away from organized religion. And because of this, many of them have been turned away from, or they've turned themselves away from scripture, Bible and Holy Quran. I myself, as a young person, I never had a desire to look into the scripture until I met the minister, of course. So many of our young people in particular, and even people when you get into the 20s, 30s, 40s, even 50s and 60s, they have not looked necessarily into the scripture with the eyes and the mind of a free-thinking person that wants freedom. We have either we don't read scripture. I'm talking about the masses of our people, not those who are conscious. We don't read scripture, or we don't read it with the mind of a free-thinking individual that deserves freedom, justice, and equality. So we're not getting from it what it would take to free our souls from the sin that we've been suffering under. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that the Quran is medicine for a sin-sick people. So when we don't, we miss out on the treasures that the scripture has. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that 75% of the Bible is prophecy. He said we're carrying out a lot of that today as we speak. So when you get into the Bible and Holy Quran, you read about people who historically have been under oppression and were low in numbers but wanted to serve God. They had an idea that God was one and that he wanted them to live a righteous life. And by whatever means he was going to use, he would help them separate and establish that separate land, state, or territory. That's how it was in the days of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The numbers were low. They only had 313 people going into the battle of Badr. But they defeated the enemy. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, it was not you who slew them. It was I with your hand. just means that God is present in this human being, aiding him in his freedom, in his fight, in his quest. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that God is anxious to prove that he is with us. So when you read the Bible, you read Moses going up against Pharaoh. You read the children of Israel, how they were afraid of the giants in the land. This is for today. Yes, there was a historical children of Israel, and yes, there was a Pharaoh who perished, but the prophetic children of Israel, most of that is prophecy for us here today. So when you read it, you're comforted by Allah. You get comfort by God through his words, through his prophets and messengers and his man on the scene today. If I listen to one speech by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, all fear and doubt is removed. This is why the enemy does not want us listening to him. This is why we're afraid, because we don't know the divinity of man, and we don't know our special connection to God and how he's actually going to aid us. We don't need a gun. We don't need a pistol or a knife. We don't even need we do have to learn how to fight, but we don't even need carnal weapons. That's how much the war belongs to God. The scripture says that the war is his. All we have to do is serve him and abide by his will and his rule and his law. So every group that God was with overcame their opposition with the help and the aid of Allah. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us that the original man, who is me and you, we outnumber the colored man 10 or 11 to 1. The original man is not made to fear anything but God. So when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan speaks, you see that the fear is gone. And that fear that's gone, it inspires us, and we lose our fear. It is fear that restricts us. It's fear that restricts our will. It's fear of our enemy that he put into us as babies and is carried through our DNA, through our experiences here in America, and through our upbringing in our own personal lives. I got a friend that's a rapper. He said, the only thing I fear is the feds. That's a mindset. That's a microcosm of the mind of many of our people. When you don't know God, you fear the white man. When you don't worship God, you worship the white man and his way of life. You worship his money. When you don't love God, you love the white man. He has, in many ways, replaced himself. This is why he told us to call him master, because the goal of a master teacher is to turn you into himself. But we have a new master today. His name is Master Fard Muhammad, and our people have to become acquainted with him if they want to lose that fear that they have of their enemy. The enemy is weak. He's weak. Look at the state of Israel. Look how the Jews went in and established a separate state or territory for themselves with the help of the French and the British and America. If they were afraid, they would have never been able to do that. If Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, were fearful, and of course he was in the beginning, all prophets may experience fear, as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the self-improvement guides. But when they carry out the will of Allah, and Allah comes in and helps them, they see that they don't have to fear anymore, because God proves that he's with them. So we have to move forward. We have to fight in the name of Allah, and we will surely win with our Savior, Allah, the universal king. So I'm not about to bust into a song and start breakdancing, but I guess you understand my point that I'm trying to make.
Certainly put a smile on my face. Yes, indeed. We will surely win. We are the winner. We just need to work.
Yes, ma'am.
Or during the first show when we had you on previously, you mentioned that we had not yet gone into a separate city or territory of our own as a result of there not being those available that as of yet that can enforce the law. It's just something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you all alluded to. Could you elaborate on that for us?
Sure, sure. One of the impediments to our freedom is our personal development. And this is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that self-improvement is the basis for community development. If I am underdeveloped as a man and I am placed into a position of leadership over a people and I deal unjustly with them, I create chaos in that community. As we join our local mosques and study groups throughout America, these are people that God has chosen to have a chance to qualify themselves to guide our people into a new way of life. That is a very long and difficult process. Only once God is complete with that person in that process, complete with that stage of their development, only then will they be qualified to go into the next stage of development, which is to father our people in a new environment. The mosque and study group is the training ground. If we use that time that we have now to become the man that we know we can become, and this means to follow the law of God. This is the foundation of our faith. This is what a disciple means. It means one disciplined by the law of God. We must first become disciplined to the law of God ourselves before we can carry out judgment on another. That is the hypocrisy of the American justice system. And the fact that the black man and woman does not get justice from America, it causes insanity among our people. In any environment, a church, a synagogue, or a mosque, when the people are done or dealt unfairly by leadership, through we may treat friends different, we may treat women different, we may judge our brother differently than we judge a brother that we don't know. We may judge a brother with a position or a title different from a brother that doesn't have a position or title. This is something that must be eradicated first before we can set up our own courts. We, God willing, intend to have our own Islamic court, but who's qualified to be the judge in that court? Who we have to be qualified to lead our people through the law of God by first following it ourselves. So that is absolutely something that God, out of his mercy, is giving us a chance right now to overcome, to deal with it, to master the self so that we can teach others and guide others and help others become masters of themselves. Does that answer your question, sister?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Thank you. Do we have any more callers in the queue? I mean, we're getting close to time to wrap up.
I don't know why we don't, sister. I mean, this show is, I'm sitting here glued to my telephone listening to this show with the questions and the answers that Brother Farrakhan is elaborating on. So thank you, Brother Farrakhan, for going deep, you know, going deep into these issues having to do with separation. But unfortunately, no one is calling in. But we do have a nice group of callers, our usual group of callers, listening attentively. So we're down to the last 6 minutes. So, callers, if you do have a question, you've got enough time to get that question answered if you push the one now.
Okay, well, we'll continue on until we get someone in the queue.
Yes.
There may be some of us that have questions about the difference between segregation and separation. Could you explore the difference between the two?
Sure, definitely, yeah. And Dr. Ridgely just touched on that. And again, I wanted to thank you, Dr. Ridgely, for having me on this wonderful, wonderful show. It's an honor and a privilege. But he touched on that. And And yeah, definitely. So we felt that it was important to put on the website the difference between integration, segregation, and separation. So integration, according to a definition in social science, is a movement of refugees or underprivileged people into the mainstream of a society. So we do not claim the title of integration. This means an inferior being assimilated to a superior. This is by no means what we intend or hope to accomplish with the help of God. Segregation is separation of an inferior by a superior. This is the colonization of the black men of America. Our ghettos have become colonies. We are controlled and managed by outside forces. We do not have control over our own neighborhood. This is segregation. Separation is a voluntary act done by two equals who realize that they cannot get along in peace. This is what we hope to project separation, because that is a process, as Dr. Ava calls it. That's exactly what it is. And project separation, we are not coming begging our enemy for anything. We are owed land. We are owed something due to our helping to build America. We built this country. This is ours just as much as it is theirs. We have not received the spoils of war, but we have fought in their wars. Where is our land? America went to war for this land, and they have this land by way of war and bloodshed. But we fought with them. We fought with them in the Revolutionary War to make America a great nation. We fought in the War of 1812. We fought in the Spanish-American War. What did we get in return? Oppression. Slavery. We got in return an entire way of life that's detrimental to our existence. Someone asked me the other day, about the food that we eat, and about how white women was eating fast food. And I said, brother, the food is chemically engineered. It doesn't affect whites the same way it affects blacks. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a fact that there is a conspiracy to destroy the black man and woman. A black man and white man can eat the same food, but the black man will get sick. His body will deteriorate, colon cancer, things like that. Our schools, a white child and a black child can go to the same school and get the same education, but that white child thrives because they're looking at pictures of them in a dress playing with slaves in 1812. The black child relates to the slave in that narrative, and thus the inferiority complex is produced or managed or furthered in first grade, kindergarten, third grade, fourth grade. The vaccinations. A white child and a black child can get the same vaccination. Black child will get autism. Everything white people have produced to benefit themselves, and it is death for the black man. This is an actual fact, and we must separate. If that doesn't excite you to separate, then we have to turn to God humbly and ask for Him to guide us in this process. So segregation is a voluntary act done by two equals. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Farrakhan. We're down to the last minute. Dr. Richard, did you want to say something?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You know, trying to get black people to separate from white people, it's like trying to get a battered wife to separate from her husband after he has destroyed her self-confidence. When we was in segregation, we had skills, carpentry, farming, we could do everything. But we left those skills to get corporate jobs, and now we feel that we can't make it on our own physically because we don't know nothing. So one of the things we're going to have to do is learn some skills again so that we can feel comfortable and confident that we can do for ourselves, because we gave up on that of the fake offer of integration. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And we're now out of time. We can go ahead and make closing statements, Sister Nyambi. Brother Farrakhan?
Inform the viewers, the listeners, of any that may want to get involved in Project Separation, how they can do so.
Sure. Just text the word SEPARATE, in all capitals, the word SEPARATE. Text that word to 31996. That's all you have to do.
Okay, did we get that SEPARATE? 31996. Thank you so much for the first one. It's been another great show. We are so grateful for your insight, and we look forward to the upcoming town hall meeting. Thanks again.
Yes, ma'am. I am the grateful one.
Thank you, Brother
Farrakhan.
Praise
be to Allah. Thank you,
Praise
Brother
be to Allah.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.